Albert Breer coming up in 60 minutes. We will ask the Myles Garrett question. Should they do right by him? Let's just get into it. And anybody else? Good seventh rounder for Denzel Ward if you want him, because we just want to do right by him. But you guys can start your game day with Earl the Pearl from 7 to 9 and then catch the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show with Jonathan Peterler and Spencer German starting at 9 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m. Daryl Ryder joins us for the latest from the stadium. Make the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns. 92.3 The Fan, presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. So you and I actually agree. The Miles conversations are conversations that have to happen in the room. When you are where the Browns are, it makes sense to say, hey, if somebody calls, is there a Godfather offer?
Yes.
What is interesting to me is my answer has not changed. I don't know if yours has. The answer is no. Myles Garrett's a Cleveland Brown, and until Myles Garrett comes to me specifically and says, I don't want to be here anymore, then I have no reason to offload the best player for this team, who probably will be the best player for the next 4 years.
I think there is a Godfather offer that I would be comfortable going with. I don't think the Browns are going to go that route, though. Like, if you made me bet whether or not I think Myles Garrett will be traded, I would bet on no being that answer. And I think I'm basing a lot of this off of what happened with Nick Chubb and the fact that they gave Nick Chubb a deal and they've reworked that in order to have him still be here. I think the front office, I think they care about the relationship with fans. I also think Andrew Berry knows if you're the guy that trades Myles Garrett, if he then gets canned at the end of the season, more people are going to remember that more than they remember anything that he did here. And I think there's just a lot to it. It's very political almost.
So I actually will. So it's not that I don't want to paint Barry and Stefanski and Dee Podesta as craven or anything like that. I think this organization is really good at making their decision and then spinning a PR narrative that fits within their wheelhouse.
For sure. Well, so, that's everyone, right?
Like, I think I don't doubt that they went to Nick Chubb's agent and said, we want Nick back because we can't let this go down like that. But when it comes to the first decision that always comes back is, do you think that the Browns will be better off for what they get for Myles Garrett than having Myles Garrett on? That will always be the thing that drives this. And this idea that they're like...
I see what you're saying. It's like almost like splitting aces at that point. You're like, oh, well, if I get two draft picks, I'm hoping that one of the two potentially become anything close to what Myles Garrett could become.
And I'll just be honest with you. Like, people have thrown out the two first-rounder things to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we're going to use the reverse logic on this of the Deshaun trade, which is those picks don't hurt nearly as much as if you're in the picking 25th, 26th, 27th, or 32nd as when they were picking 13th. One of the picks, I think, was the 10th pick. They did trade one of the picks up for the third pick in the draft for Will Anderson.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see – the frame of reference I'll actually use is Jalen Ramsey. The Jaguars traded Ramsey to the Rams for two first-rounders.
And then he got traded again for two first-rounders.
Yeah, which that one I didn't understand.
Multiple times.
I understood the first one. I didn't understand the second trade. But the players that Jacksonville got back for Ramsey do not in any way. And none of – by the way, both of them were busts. So look at that optics. But then the other thing is, even if the 20th best player, two of the 20th best players in a draft – aren't as good as the number one defensive player in football.
Mm-hmm.
So the value, like, if we start with...
Right, but you're
still... If we start with the Godfather offer, two first-round picks isn't it. At some point, it feels like you're doing a charity case for somebody that isn't the Cleveland Browns.
You'd be cost-controlled with your picks, though. I think that part of the equation does help. So then you can give that money to somebody else, and you can go ahead and you can move... Which I don't think is the biggest deal for the Browns, because the Browns have the money faucet turned on. We have, and I am curious about that. I don't know if Haslam is going to continue to spend at the same rate that he's been spending.
He spent before. Like, people forget, when they were 0-16, he was spending.
He was 27th in the league. I looked it up the other day.
Well, no. But the actual money... Because remember, there's the cap number and how much you spend of the cap, and then there's the money above that, which factors in everything from, like...
He was spending in interesting ways. He was, like, doing the Brock Osweiler thing. Like, he was finding interesting ways to do it. He wasn't cheap, let's put it that way. But it was nowhere close to what we've seen over the previous couple years. And I thought the previous couple years, Nick, was based off of him wanting to be right about Deshaun. And I don't know now that he's wrong about Deshaun. I don't know if he's going to change. or if he's going to go even more aggressive to try to make the Deshaun thing not his legacy, to really bring the Browns a winner.
So whether it's Miles, whether it's Denzel, whether it's JOK, whoever I think is the core pieces of this team.
You're going to have to give Miles a new contract, I would imagine, at the end of the season if you don't trade him.
Yeah, and I don't know why that's a hindrance. He's lived up.
It's top of the money market, though. Top of the market money, though.
I don't care.
Which I'm fine with, but again, these are the conversations.
Like, well, but I think like even that, like, oh, we don't want to pay Miles top of the money. Were you just bored with 15 sacks a year?
No, it's not that. It's just the idea that if you trade for two first-round picks, then you're on rookie deals with both those picks. It's a little bit different.
Man, I'm just so sick of the concept of value. Because here's the problem. This concept of value, which drives everything to the very, very smart people, I understand that there are very real reasons to look at value. But those two, when we just talk about those players, even if we factor in the money side of this, they won't be as good as Miles. Everything that you're going to be doing, whether you have the number one pick, the number five pick, you're just going to keep trying to find more guys like Miles.
Yeah, Miles Garrett's don't grow on trees.
And I just think you've like smart organizations understand the Rams. They'll trade two picks every 2 years for a player that is proven that will perform for them, and then they'll have them for 4 or 5 years, and then they'll do it again with another player and another player, and they just continue. Why? And why do they keep winning? I know this year they're going to be selling off Cooper Kupp, but why do they keep winning? They draft well, and they exploit teams who are drunk on things like value.
The key part of that, though, and I don't know that we draft particularly well.
I mean, the Jalen Ramsey trade was a wild success. The Matthew Stafford trade was a wild success.
I'm saying they draft well. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, but those moves are the difference makers. Drafting well enough allows you to
raise your
floor.
The Chiefs' defense right now is what it is because they drafted so well.
Well, no, yeah, but the Chiefs don't do what maybe the Rams are doing and what great, like when you see players that you can add and it's a great player, a difference maker, you just do that. And you don't subtract them. Dumb teams. Jacksonville has done this. Jacksonville is the
Chiefs
other.
Chiefs did do that with Tyreek Hill. They subtracted.
Yeah, you had Pat Mahomes. It's not a one for one there.
No, but like, I mean, but you were talking about great players though, and I'm trying to follow your logic here.
So the logic is.
I think your logic is always keep your great players for as long as you can keep them.
When you have elite players at, let's say, the most important positions, which I find to not a wide receiver is. But it's negated when you have a Pat Mahomes. But whether it's edge rusher, elite shutdown corners, elite wide receivers, if you don't
I think when you enter a different state, though, Nick, I think when you enter a different, like the Rams were still competitive. The Rams were still going for it. Like I look more at like the Raiders, for instance, trading Davante Adams, probably trading Max Crosby.
So Davante Adams and Miles Garrett are the same guy?
Davante Adams was a top five wide receiver in the league for the previous 3 years up until this last season.
Who has mattered more to wins and losses in the last decade?
He's a top five in his position. There's no debating that. Davante Adams is awesome at football. Please don't make Davante Adams stink. And Max Crosby, by the way.
No, that's not what we're doing. We're
potentially
saying,
on the line there. Like what they're doing is they're just entering a different stage of how they go about football. They're entering it's not great.
So losing.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're in essentially a tank is what you'd be doing. If you enter that state with Miles Garrett, what you're telling everyone is we are going through the process of a tank. We're going to get a quarterback, and we're going to set this whole thing up. And we're going to do it with draft picks, and we're going to go. It's going to take a long time.
So
it's going to take a long time if that happens. It doesn't take forever, but it's going to be a while.
Yeah, and you don't have to. That's the thing we have to remember here. When you have a core that is still young enough where you can see them on the other side still being here, you don't have to do this. You'll be choosing it. And if you choose to trade, and listen, I think with Miles, it's so much harder of a conversation because people don't feel the way about Miles that they do about Nick Chubb.
I agree with that. He's never been as beloved in this city as Nick Chubb. He's never been as beloved as Joe Thomas even. Like, he's not looked at in the same way as those guys.
And some of that is Miles.
He's liked, he's not beloved.
Some of that is Miles' own doing. Some of that is how Miles has conducted himself. I don't think calling out the fans and calling Deshaun Watson a model citizen, by the way, is helping anyone. But I think what happens when your team loses, the worst thing that happens in sports is your team didn't meet expectations. In the NFL specifically, the first thing we go to is burn it down. I'll be honest with you. If Pittsburgh cratered right now, they're not going to trade TJ Watt. If I'm trying to think of other teams, like the teams that are doing this are consistently the dumbass teams. It's the Raiders. It's the Jaguars. It's teams I don't want to be about. Like Tyreek Williams is, bit of a head case. I don't want
to
pay him.
I think if you go through a tank, you have to really have a conversation with Miles, because Miles has not shown us he doesn't handle losing very well. And I think you got to really find out from him. And this is answers we don't have, Nick. But you got to really find out from him. Is he comfortable being in a losing setting for a couple years as they figure this thing out?
But again, you're assuming
he's not done that well.
So there's the intention of we're actively trying to lose, and then there's the we're trying to rebuild or retool or however you want to face it. Those aren't the same things. You're not going into next year saying I hope we lose.
No,
you're
going into next year. You hope we lose, but if you trade Miles Garrett, you're going to have to start this thing. It's going to take a long time. This is not like it's not a quick, easy thing.
Then don't trade.
Like the reality of what happened over this past weekend and now where we're at 1-6, like this is not great, guys.
Yeah, and it's also not as bad as maybe the situation. Like, understand the unique circumstances that led you to 1-6, and don't turn it into a gaping hole on the side of the Titanic that sinks the whole thing. That's perspective. That is, and Miles is a huge part of that. Miles is part of your salvation. And I'm talking about him being on the field. You cannot sell me any world in which you're a better team long-term because you traded Miles Garrett just because, well, it feels better because we did something. And I'm not saying you're saying that, but this idea of value and tanking and none of that crap works. Miami tanked for 5 years. How much closer are they to a Super Bowl? They're not. Tanking, I'm sorry, I'm out on it. Done it, didn't work. Everybody that does it, it doesn't work. Jacksonville tanked for an all-time quarterback, and they're right back to having a fire quarterback because they don't have culture. Fix the culture. Let Miles be part of that.
What if Miles is part of the problem with the culture?
Well, again, a good leader, and again, this is where
he's not displayed being a good leader often. It's happened in spurts, but he is...
I think that's wildly unfair to Miles. Miles,
guys, 2 years ago, leading the campaign that Miles was a problem on this team.
Miles has not been perfect.
Okay,
but there's a difference between you're not perfect or you're a little immature and you're a part of the problem.
Is he better than that now?
No, he's still Miles Garrett. But that there's
well,
some.
What if you're building a new culture and you look around and say maybe we don't need to deal with that?
God, man, you're just talking yourself into it.
Maybe
you just are.
But you're just talking yourself into it. Because it's a good point.
No. Because you've made the decision that you think it makes sense to trade him, and nothing said to the opposite is going to get you where you need to go.
I think this goes both ways, though.
I think this is confirmation bias. 100%. 100% confirmation bias that they have no business trading Miles, and they will lose a fan of 39 years if they trade Miles.
You're gone?
I think, I'm so gone.
You're gone if they trade Miles?
Yes, this is right up there.
And I don't think they're going to do it, but that would be enough for you?
This is trading 28-20. I'm so sick of it.
You're that in defense of Miles Garrett being on this team?
Am I wrong? Is he the greatest defensive player you've had in 50 years?
I'm just surprised you're going that hard on the mat. Like, what are you going to become, like a Bucs fan? Like, how is this going to work?
No, I'm just not going to be a Browns fan. If you trade 95, I'm out. I don't know why that's that hot of a take.
That's very hot of a take.
216.
I didn't know there was anything that could get you to leave a
this
fandom.
This is it. You do not trade future Hall of Famers by fetishizing draft picks. I'm just so over. You could get a couple first rounders. Like, it's like cocaine. Just more first rounders. Ooh, can I get a seventh rounder too? Ooh, just one more bump will get me through to the next mock draft. Like, put the coke down, go to rehab, make your amends, and go win some freaking football games. I almost said something else there.
I almost cussed.
Have your opinions on trading Miles Garrett made any different? Are they made any different by what happened over the weekend? More to come. 92.3 The Fan.